Welcome you all, brothers and sisters, wherever you are across the world, again to this gospel preaching, whereby Christ alone is exalted and worshipped, and this is the time, the good time, the hour that the Lord gave us, so that we should worship Him and glorify Him through singing, scripture reading, and preaching of the word. Now, our first thing is to have a song of praise, whereby Brother Dave Maxwell will lead a song of praise. And after that, Brother Austin Banda from Kasungu Grace Church will lead from the book of Song of Solomon, chapter 3. Verses 1 downwards. And thereafter, Brother Pinafore Isaac from Sanje Grace Church will lead us a song of praise and look forward to other things that is content in it. Pano, ndikulandire nonse mutsina lambe wa Yesu Kristu mukumano watu. Kuyamba kwatu kuli mukuimba nyimbo imene mbale Ted Maxwell akambisa nyimbo imeneyo akamaliza. Mbale Austin Banda akawerenga nyimbo ya Solomon chapter 3. Ndipo akamaliza pompo mbale Isaac Kinafordi akayambisa nyimbo ya Mbogo. Tauyanu, Brother Ted, tingolumikiza ndi mbale Austin, lubwera mbale Kinafordi.
Nakale mchivinde cha kondibala, ndikulumbira anagazi imu ku Yerusalemu. Nkoyo, niswala ya mtengo. Kuti mkause ngakale kukalamusa chikondi, mpaka chikafuna mwini. Mwendo wa ukwasi. Ndani yu, abwela kukuluka chipululu mkatibusi wa ndolo. Wonu shira niniba ni mtaka nisakelele. Yesu wonu shirisa zose za ogulisa. Taona ni di mashira asolomo. Bazingapo amuna amhangu magumi asanu ndili moti. Amwa ngwazi za Israeli. Yes, eight. Osireo agwira lupanga nazolowera kongo. Yese alindi lupanga lache, basha fubache. Chifuwa kubandu wa usiku. Solomo mfumu anazipangira mashira mokalamu songa. Ni madabwa akulipanoni. Anapanga milongo otitache kifa. Nyapasti pache before he mpandu wache nisalu ya kuda. Pakati pache pana ya lidwa za chikondi chana agazi aku Yerusalemu. Nukani angagazi inu asioni. Kwenye Solomon mfumu jikolona maje agreza na siku la ukwati wache. Na kare siku la ukwondo na sima wache. Best second. Mamene vatela hapere ba kwele njero kwa mawa amene nero nari na uskongo. Amen.
Tivita kwa chuka njira ya tanda
Palibenjira
Zindita oka
zivata ticha
Kata ya njira
ya tanda
Ochibe tanda
Tanda njira ya kwa
Ochibe tanda
Tanda njira ya kwa
Togoneta
Ana a Yerusalemu zangu wachi. Beti nyimbo yo kosa ndiyo ya so fes umatayo andi mpemfele ndinka mamwache pakuti chikondi cha kosa mafuta ako anu mfira zina lako mafuta anu mfira kosa anu mfira kwa jaje anamwari akukonda fes undikoke ndikutama ngire mfumu ya ndilo weta nisipinda zake chitasa ngala ndiku kondwe la ndiku chitachula chikondi chako kuposa vinyo akukonda morunga 5 verse wakuda ini koma ukongola ana agazino ana aku Yerusalemu ngati mahema akedara ngati salu zochinga za Solomo 6 verse kusayanganane pa ine pakuti ndada pakuti chuwa landidetsa ana amuna amayi anandikwira anandisungitsa minda ya mipesa koma munda wanga wa mipesa sindina usunga 7 verse ndiuze iwe amene moyo wanga ukukonda umaweza kuti guru lako umalikonesa kuti pakati pa usana pakuti ndikhalirenji ngati osochera pambali pa makulu anzako 8 verse ngati sudziwa mkazi woposa kukongola zituluka kukalondola mbande la kugululo tuka wete ana mbuzi zako pambali pa mahema a abusa 9 verse ndakulinganiza wokondedwa wanga nyamatawe ngati akavalo amakaleta a Farao 10 verse masaya ako akongola ndi nkhata ndiko silako ndi zinganga za kanda onyezimira 11 verse nkhata za golidi ndi nyuma za silipa ukhala mfumu podyera pache mphoka yanga inanunkhira 13 verse wokondedwa wanga nyamatayo ali kwa ine ngati thumba la nipa wogona pakati pa maere anga 14 verse wokondedwa wanga ali kwa ine ngati chikuputu cha maluwa ofukira linda ya mipesa ya kuingeni 15 verse taona wakongolatu wenzira anga namwaliwe taona wakuongola maso ako akunga ankhunda 16 verse taona wakuongolatu mwenziranga nyamatawe inde wakuongoletsa ukona bathu mpansipu 17 verse ndiyo malisa mitanda ya nyumba zathu zamikungusa ndi mabaso athu ngamulongwa haleluya
amen. To God be all the glory and honor. Our last song of praise will be led by Brother Felix Mandalasi. Song of praise, Brother Felix.
Number 19.
Christo, it's a jolly man.
bandijenga. Oba ba Kristu yo. Ita da joli ba. Ena ndijenga. Oba bandijenga. Whatever the Lord have set forth in your heart, behold, the house is in waiting to hear from the Lord.
Let's look together in 1 Peter chapter 4, and my text today is from verse 1 down to verse 6, and I want to speak with you about what it is to be sons of God by grace, sons of God by grace.
Jenti sagulani bugula tu 1 Petro chapter 4 ndipo tikala tikuyangana kuti taustanji agamana kuti kukhala ana mulungu mwachisomo ndipo takala tikulankhula kuti anthu amakhala ana mulungu mwachisomo amatandauza chani agamane na choncho.
There are many today that profess with their lips to be sons of God. They call themselves believers or Christians. But if you are to ask them on what basis they believe they are a son or child of God, they go back to an experience. They tell you that there was a time that, and this is a word that you hear often, they got saved. And that means that they made some kind of profession. They walked an aisle or said a sinner's prayer, and therefore they believe they're sons of God. But that's not what the scriptures declare.
You notice in verse 1,
Peter lays the entire matter on the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, where he says, "For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh." That's the only way to be called a son of God, is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and his death accomplished for those sinners that he came to save.
Mayangana mu chapter 4 ni makeyo yambayo imene kunera kuti popeza Kristu adamazowa wamtupi muchikonzere mtima omwewo pakuti iye amene adamazowa wamtupi walekana nalo tchimo chimene akubweretsa apa nchoyamba nchona kuti iye Kristu adamazowa kota kuti tinanekera kuzindikira kuti ulendo wakutumikira umulizowawa ndizo kumudutsa zambiri zimene anthu amenekera kudutsamo.
Here's the clear declaration of the gospel that we find throughout the scriptures, is that the eternal, holy Son of God came in the flesh. He took on himself the likeness of sinful flesh, and yet he was never a sinner. And he suffered reproach and indignations. He endured the curse of the law, and the wrath of God was upon him, in order that he might save that people that the Father gave him. We could take the entire message and preach the gospel just from this part of verse
1.
When he says, "For as much then as Christ," so that's the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The word Christ means the anointed one of God, the one appointed to be the Savior. And the second key phrase is "hath suffered." This is not just simply talking about his physical sufferings, but Isaiah spoke of it in Isaiah 53, the very sufferings of his soul, the travails of his soul as an offering unto God. His suffering was his bearing of the very sin of that people that God purposed to save. Isaiah also says in Isaiah 53 that their iniquities were laid upon him. It was not for any sin of his own. He had none. He had to be that perfect lamb. But it was on behalf of that people for whom he suffered. And there we have the third important statement with regard to the gospel, where Peter says, "For us," that is, in our room and stead, in our place. Now, a lot of people like to read "for us" and think, well, that's everybody. But no, here, all throughout Peter's epistle, It began in chapter 1 where he's speaking in verse 2 of the elect of God according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Him knowing beforehand who it was that he had chosen and would save by the death of his son. The fourth statement there that declares the gospel for us is substitution. But notice, in the flesh, this was a very real suffering unto death. The wages of sin is death. In the Old Testament, that sacrificial lamb had to be slain and the blood shed. And so it was with the Lord Jesus Christ. The work was not complete until he died. In order for God to save sinners, that law and his justice had to be satisfied completely. There were the precepts of the law that had to be fulfilled in his life in complete obedience, not only in the letter of the law, but the very spirit of the law. But not only the precepts had to be satisfied to God's satisfaction, but the very penalty of the law, which required death. So that's why Christ had to die. That's why he came in the flesh, to satisfy both the precepts of the law and the penalty of the law, in order that God might be just and justify, declare righteous those for whom he died. Now this is why Peter says in verse 1, continuing, likewise, arm yourselves with the same mind as Christ. He says, for he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. And so, even as Christ suffered and died in order to redeem and justify his people, what Peter is saying here to those who are sons of God by grace, that we must be prepared also to suffer reproach and indignities, and be prepared to suffer whatever persecution or reproaches and self-denials that we may be called to suffer for righteousness' sake. In other words, for this one who is the righteous one. That is to say that those that are sons of God by grace, this is not just information that we're given concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, but if he has paid our sin death and given us life in him, it's going to affect our lives even as we live in this world. Well, how does the death of the Lord Jesus Christ affect those for whom he died? When Peter says there in verse 1, for he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, first of all, is that applies to the Lord Jesus Christ? Now when it says that he has ceased from sin, Christ was never a sinner. So what that means is that he has ceased from being the sin bearer. He no longer has the charge of the sin of his elect upon him, because so complete was his death that he bore it away. And Christ can no longer be charged with that sin. It's finished. Here's a glorious truth for those who are the sons of God by grace, in that when our sins were imputed to the Lord Jesus Christ, for which he made satisfaction, that means they're gone. If Christ died for us and our sins were charged to him, we then are justified and freed from any charge of sin in him. Glorious truth that even as Christ is no longer the sin bearer, he came to bear the sin away and now is risen and ascended on high. But the glorious truth is that that very condemnation of sin and curse of sin that was upon us no longer is on anyone for whom he paid the debt, freed from sin. So that's how God sees us. It's not that we stop sinning ourselves. We know ourselves to be sinner. But that when Christ suffered in the flesh, he suffered on behalf of such sinners as we are, and therefore has ceased from sin in the sense that that charge is no longer laid upon Christ, and it's no longer laid upon those for whom he died. To be a son of God by grace is to live free of sin in this sense, that it can no longer be charged to any one of us for whom he died. So this is the difference that the grace of God makes and that the person and work of Christ makes in the life of one for whom he paid the debt. Now here again in verse 2, we need to understand this in its context as it pertains to the Lord Jesus Christ, where it says that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. As that pertains to our Lord Jesus Christ, he is no longer in this world and living his life in the flesh according to the lusts of men. In other words, the things that men would have done to him or laid upon him was for a time. And now that he has finished the work, he no longer lives under that subjection of men and their persecutions and their reproaches. Even as our Lord, when he was on this earth, living this life in the flesh, was never subject to the lusts of men, but as it says there, but to the will of God. He was ever subject to the will of God, even in the face of men's reproaches and indignations and their wrath against him, yet none of that moved him. His will was to do the will of his Father. Now apply that to what it is to be a son of God by grace, one for whom Christ has paid the debt. We no longer should live the rest of our time in the flesh to the lusts of men. In other words, subject to their desires and their will, but to the will of God. We as well are completely subject to the will of God and purpose for our lives. So here in verse 3, we see the difference that the grace of God makes in his children, those for whom Christ paid the debt. It says in verses 3 and 4, "For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you."
Nimala 3 and 4, Yohane Petro 4, Pakuti, Pakuti, Ntawi, Abitai,
idatifikira kuchita chifuno cha mitundu poyendaenda ife mkukumba zonyasa zilakolako maletselo madyerelo maimaimwa ndi kupembedza mafano kosaleka. Verse 4. Menemo ayesa nchachilendo kuti simuthamanga nawo kufikira kuyesepukira komwe kwa chitaiko nakuchitirani mwano.
But it says, for the time past of our life. It's speaking there of that time before the Spirit of God was pleased to reveal Christ in us. Our life was much like that of those around us today who are yet without the Spirit of Christ. They live according to the flesh.
Kalekale Kristu asadavumbuluke pa ife, ife tonse tidali ngati otsalawo amene ayenda kukopedwa kwa mtima wawo ndi kusefukira kwa uchimo kupembedza mafano.
So coming back here to our text in verse 3, we see the reminder that we were at one time in our experience, even though Christ had already paid our sin debt, yet it took the Spirit to call us out unto Christ. Otherwise, we, you notice in verse 3 it says, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, and excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, we have no reason to judge and condemn those who are still without Christ in the flesh, knowing that we ourselves were once in that same darkness.
So any difference
that there is between us and those of the world who are yet in darkness, the only difference can be attributed to the grace of God and to the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's nothing in us. So what we are, and only the only thing that makes us to differ from those who are still in darkness and without the Spirit of Christ, is the grace of God.
Chilipo, chimene chimatipangisa ife kukhala osiyana ndi iwo amene Kristu osada wasankha kapena amene sakumva uthenga lero kuti ndi mzimu wa Mulungu basi.
This is why Paul wrote to Titus in Titus chapter 3 in verses 2 and 3 to speak evil of no man. In other words, we have no business looking around us and judging people for how they live, because we know ourselves that that was once our case. We were like them. So we're not to stand off and look at men of this world as if they're worse than what we are. But nor are we to walk with them and to continue to live as they live, as if the grace of God has not made a difference. Paul, in writing to Titus, says to speak evil of no man, but also to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. And here again, verse 3, for we ourselves also, notice, were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another, just like those who continue in darkness. Exactly what Peter is declaring in our text in chapter 4 and verse 3, for the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, to live as they live. So what has made the difference? Well, Paul, in writing to Titus in verses 4 and 5, says, after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. He's speaking there of Christ coming in this world and taking on flesh in order to work out that righteousness on behalf of those sinners that the Father gave him. So we're not to think ourselves better than others simply because God has acted upon us in His grace and sent His Son to pay our sin debt. We're no better than anybody. That's why he says in verse 5 of Titus 3, not by works of righteousness which we have done. There's only one work of righteousness, and that is the work that the Lord Jesus Christ came and earned, and God imputed to the account of those for whom he came into this world. He clearly states it's according to his mercy, that mercy and grace in Christ, that he saved us when Christ died, and by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. That's how Christ is revealed in the heart. And notice in verse 6, which he shed on us abundantly. It's not speaking about everybody, but those that God has purposed to save and has manifest that kindness and love toward sinners, that he has shed that on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being what? justified, verse 7, by his grace we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life.
Amen.
Now come back to my text here in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 4, because the world cannot comprehend who is Christ and what is his work that he came to accomplish on behalf of his own, and how it is that his grace is upon some and not all.
See,
in verse 4, Peter writes, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, and thereby speak evil of you. Just as they did not understand our Lord Jesus and who he was and how he was separated unto his Father, the people of this world do not understand you or me, who are sons of God by grace. They think it's strange that you do not enjoy and take part in their evil. That's not only so with people who are worldly, as they call them, in other words, that are perhaps not even religious, but even more so those who are religious. They think it's strange that you do not run with them in their excess and idolatries. It says there in verse 4, they speak evil of you. In other words, they speak evil of your Christ because they have no knowledge of him, and therefore they speak evil of you. They don't understand you, but you understand them because you were once like them.
Yes.
But now here's how it applies to them in verse 5. They might not know Christ. They might be living in darkness left to themselves, but they will give an account unto God. It says, verse 5, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead.
Amoyo,
I'm dealing with a man right now who is dying and has very few days to live. And I've been in communication with him and encouraging him to read the scriptures and pointing him to Christ, but his response has been very hardened, that he has no interest and that he does not believe the gospel and does not believe there is even a Christ. But just because he does not believe God, just because he is blind to this word and knows nothing of Christ and his death for sinners, that does not mean that he then is free from any kind of judgment. It's just the opposite. Here in verse 5 it says, who shall? These that speak evil of you, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? That's the Lord Jesus Christ himself.
Sama bangazindzone kanga zoifa kuba mau akutsimikiza kunana kuti chifori maswao ngotsa tseguka iwao adzawerengera mlandu adzaweruza ndipo chonjiwe kanja kuti kaya muntu sa madziziwa kuti ngochimwa kaya sada mvumburutsino kumonetsa kuchimwa kwake ndumva wake ndumve wake koma muntu tangochimwa ngotsutsirwa ndipo sama yenera kuima pepa masomo kumulungu.
Now clearly here in verse 5, when he says, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead, in the context, it's talking about those outside of Christ. Because we know that, going back to verse 1, if Christ has suffered for us, there is therefore now no condemnation. If we had the time, we would go to Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11 through 15. Just note the reference, but there it describes what will be the judgment, how all shall stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. But those for whom he paid the debt, their names are already written in that Lamb's book of life. And therefore, Christ has borne all of their condemnation. But to all the rest, whose names are written in the books of works, they will be judged justly according to their works. Now, when Christ is called in verse 5, the judge of the quick and the dead, that means he rules over those who are yet alive in this world, but also those who have already died. They answer to the Lord Jesus Christ. To those that are alive in this world for whom Christ paid the debt, he is their judge in this sense, that he declares them free of sin based upon his work accomplished on their behalf.
iwo amene Kristu anawasipera kuchokera kwa chiyambi maina wawo analembedwa mbuku la anthu amoyo ndiwo amoyo monga mwakusankha kwa Mulungu onse amene Kristu sada afere ndi akufa monga mwakusankha kwa Mulungu kuti asakhale ndi moyo mudziko la uzimu.
But even those for whom Christ paid the debt who are now dead, yet Christ continues to be their judge in the good sense, their advocate, that no sin can condemn them because he is their substitute, their representative, their redeemer, for whom he came, lived, and died, and rose again. But the same applies to those who are outside of Christ, for whom he didn't pay the debt. He's still their judge, not in salvation, but in condemnation, whether they're alive now or already dead. Notice how Peter puts it there in verse 6, with which we'll conclude. It says, "For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit." When Peter writes there in verse 6, "For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead," he's speaking of those who are now dead, such as Noah, or Abraham, or Moses, or David, or all of those Old Testament believers, that even though when they were in the flesh, as men, they were still subject to like passions, yet now they live according to God in the Spirit. In other words, they've not been judged with the world.
Abraham, Mose, Elisaria, onsewe ya wawa amene adafa mtubiri. Kumbote adali osangi no tenga aso dalari kilo kwa iwo, ndibonda amotzi na afe aifeyo.
Even though while they were alive, where it says that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, men looked upon them and saw them as sinners just as they were, and yet there was the grace of God and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, which was their salvation. This same gospel that gives Christ all the glory and speaks of his death on behalf of sinners was preached unto them. You see that? Even though Christ had not yet come, yet Christ was preached unto them in type and picture and promise and prophecy. They looked to the Christ who would come and put away their sin. We look back to the Christ who has come and put away our sin.
Pamene ife timayang'ana mbuyo kubwera kwake monga munthu mthupi
So even though they're now dead, but yet live according to God in the Spirit, yet their hope of righteousness, their hope of salvation was in none other than the same in whom we today have hope, who are yet alive. It is Christ and His finished work. There are some that think that those of the Old Testament were saved on a different basis than those of us since Christ came into the world. But nothing could be further from the truth than that. Any who have this hope of glory, any who have been saved by the grace of God alone and by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ alone on their behalf. Therein is their salvation. What a glorious hope it is for those who are sons of God by grace. And if God, by His grace, has given us that good hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, all the glory and honor belongs unto Him. Well, Lord willing, we'll pick up with this again next time. It's like a good meal, isn't it? You want to keep eating, but when you get full, you have to take time to digest. So that's what we're going to do. Reflect upon what the Lord has shown us in His Word today, and Lord willing, we'll pick it up again next time.
For sure. To Him alone be all the glory and honor because of whatever He purpose and direct.
Amen.
Let's open our hymns, hymn number 50 and 57. It's the hymns that will close with. Church is a great hymn number 57. Tikamari is the 50. Kimene titsekenayo polo kalamu ya kisikula lero. Wa yi luye sundira o pa.
Amen.
Dima choka Dima ga Dima ga Kwela kuti baba Koko kule Waku Chete la zozo Koma Uye Waku chote la Chote la Ipa baba Dimi so se Como we aso kila pasi wagu chotera chotera ipa baba dibiso sinetiba como we aso kila pasi gitani kila ni ine kume se la Yesu ku baso se ana neche tira che bolobatso no muso chake baba izala maine tira lope lazi chababa koka che bolobatso Nobu so chage baba, itala maile tibida, lobe razi chababa. Kumabe ifaya, ifaya watuwa ke baba, ikobe awa la tila, nyumba zoko seka. Ifaya, ifaya, tuwa ke baba, ikomera wa la di la ba, soko seka, uye kapolo wa nu baba, uye kaide sebi, iyo kaya nu baba. Oye kapolo, kapolo wadu baba, ibele na idesebi, iyo kayanu baba. Ifaya, ifaya wadu wake inu, ikotera yawo awa, la jira nyumba. Baba ifaya, ifaya watu wake baba, ikotera wa la jira nyumba zo. Koma kuye kapolo, kapolo watu baba, ibele zaide sebe. Iyo gaya kine deka Uye kapolo Ika kapolo wadu Kinebele gaine sebe Iyo gaya dine de Uye kapolo Ika kapolo wadu Dipele kwaine sebe, iyo gaya tine denga. Let us again look to God in prayer as we are closing the service of today that the Lord gave us.
Gracious Father, I thank you for this time together, not only in our songs and scripture reading, but the hearing of the word, which is so vital for our own soul's nourishment. And I pray for these that you have gathered to hear this word, even for myself, that it might be what your spirit is pleased to bless to our hearts as we live out our lives in this world, that indeed it is to your honor and glory alone. And if we're anything, It's only by your mercy and grace in Christ and that shed blood to the full satisfaction of your law and justice that we might be sons of God. So I pray for these preachers that are gathered, that as they prepare to go back to their various places where you have put them, that indeed the Lord Jesus Christ alone would be exalted, and that in every text, in every part of your word, it would be Christ that is preached, and not men's works or traditions or anything to do with man's will, but Christ's work alone. And I thank you that if any are the Lord's, he's paid the debt. We stand complete in him, and there is therefore now no condemnation. What a glorious message of good news for those for whom Christ came. So we give you the honor and the glory and pray for your grace to live out our lives each day. And we give you the thanks in our dear Savior's name. Amen.
Amen.